You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Yesterday, the Bureau of Land Management announced it is planning to relocate its headquarters from Washington, D.C. to the Mountain West, specifically to Grand Junction in western Colorado. Interior Secretary David Bernhardt says the move will, quote, play an invaluable role in serving the American people more efficiently while also advancing the Bureau of Land Management's multiple-use mission. But some conservationists were quick to criticize the move, saying the administration could force staffers with years of institutional knowledge out. Joining us today to talk about the decision to move the BLM is Andra Senner, Executive Director and Professor of Public Policy at Boise State University, John Freemuth, and our Mountain West News Bureau reporter, Amanda Peacher, who has been covering this issue for both of us. Thanks for being here, both of you.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And if you would like to join the conversation about the Trump administration decision, make sure you tweet us in the next 10 minutes. Use the hashtag Idaho Matters, and we might use your question or comment on the show. So, Amanda, I want to start with you. Just lay out the details of this move.
So it's actually maybe not as hefty as people thought in terms of like needing to build a whole new building or hundreds and hundreds of people moving to one city. So we know that there will be 27 positions relocated to Grand Junction. Another 222 positions will be spread out across various district level offices from Idaho to New Mexico. And that's in part what environmental groups have a problem with. They say that that amounts to kind of a dismantling of agency leadership and institutional knowledge in the Bureau. But, you know, when you talk to BLM higher ups, they say, nope, that this is going to make for better leaders who are closer to program staff. Here is Assistant Interior Secretary Joe Balash describing one example.
We also have a number of rangeland program staff here in Washington that are associated with our grazing program. Most of our grazing permits are issued in the Mountain West, primarily Idaho. So most of those positions are going to be relocated to Idaho.
And in a sense, this does echo some frustrations that I've heard from, for example, in the ranching community, people who say that they get frustrated with the red tape and bureaucracy that can come from Washington, D.C. When they're trying to work on the ground here that, you know, doesn't always fit land management policies here on the ground.
And another thing, Amanda, that you've mentioned in your reporting is this idea of cost saving as one of the reasons for this. So does the BLM have an opinion on that aspect?
They say that a conservative estimate right now is that the relocation will save $50 million over a 20-year horizon. And that's in part because real estate in D.C. is expensive, and they're not going to need a D.C. building in the same way that they would, you know, with everyone located at the nation's capital. They also won't have to pay people the same pay differential. In D.C., salaries are higher because the cost of living is higher. So they will say that that'll amount to savings, and putting people in existing buildings is also part of that equation.
So John, the idea of relocating, but not only the BLM, but also other Department of Interior agency headquarters, I mean, this has been out there for a while now because former Interior Secretary Zinke actually proposed this idea. Mm-hmm. So put this into context for us, okay? Why is this an important idea for the Trump administration?
Well, it's important in the sense that Zinke brought it up and they never let it go. They've downsized the idea quite a bit. I mean, former Secretary Zinke was going to redraw boundaries. They were going to do all sorts of movement and things like that. Now it seems to be focused on just the BLM primarily. This kind of idea has been kicked around for years and years and years. And it's the real way I tell people to think about it is all reorganizations are not neutral. There are winners and losers. There are reasons they're done that may be beyond just talking about things like efficiency.
So what kind of pushback then has this announcement gotten from like environmental groups, things like that?
I would have people not so much talk about the environmental groups, but there's a group that I've worked a lot with over the years called the Public Land Foundation. They are retired BLM folks that have been everywhere from number two in the agency to state directors to specialists. They're very concerned about this, and they're now working on a position statement to put out. Not that they're going to be listened to, but they are completely, I would say, neutral on this. They've been there. They've been in Washington. They know how decisions are made. They're concerned. And I would urge people to listen to them. The environmentalists are bringing up some of the same arguments, but that the PLF's concern is interesting to me.
And could that be because if you are not on Capitol Hill, you're not there to fight your own battles?
No, that's exactly what's going to happen. Is the director of BLM, as I understand it, and the associate directors and the assistant directors will be in Grand Junction. Now, a lot of things are still done in Washington, D.C. The issue to me is not that where they are, it's where the decision is made. And I can point to both Republican and Democratic administrations where the decision was made at the top. Now, the top might be in Grand Junction, but it's still the top. It's not being made by the state director. It's not being made at a local level. Let's say the issue's in Idaho. Well, if the decision's not made in Idaho and it's made in Grand Junction, it might as well be made in Washington, D.C. It's been pushed up.
And I should add, though, that it's not like every single D.C. position is being relocated. The agency is retaining, I think it's around 60, it might be 66 positions to deal with things like Freedom of Information Acts, congressional budget requests. So D.C.-specific positions, things that have to do with the work of the nation's capital, will still occur in Washington, D.C. They'll still be housed there.
But we're moving the director away from this personnel staff.
Well, and there's also relationships that are made. And it's called Maine Interior. That's where everybody is, the leaders of the agencies. And I remember studying a long time ago an issue between the Park Service and BLM over oil and gas and tar sands in Utah. Well, the point is, if they're trying to work things out, it's nice to be in the same building where you can have personal conversations. Or if things are trending towards, let's say, the Park Service on an issue like that, and the BLM is in Grand Junction, yeah, they'll have people in D.C., but those aren't what President Bush would call the deciders.
Right.
That's not them.
I'm talking with Andrew Center Executive Director John Freemuth and Mountain West News Bureau reporter Amanda Peacher about the announcement from the Trump administration to move the BLM headquarters to Colorado. So are there substantial environmental concerns with a move like this?
Well, it might be. I mean, you see these amazing switches between who's in the administration, the difference between the Obama administration's environmental policy and the Trump administration is pretty well known to everybody. But there is a concern that my old professor, Phil Foss, wrote about the BLM in the late 50s, that they were captured by the interest that they were supposed to regulate, mainly ranchers, sometimes miners. And so there is a danger that if they're out here, the voices will be more the traditional resource users rather than a diverse set of the American public. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it could.
So what is the impact to Idaho?
Well, I mean, obviously, we'll be seeing some of those positions relocated here to our district office. So that means, you know, maybe not new jobs, but additional personnel here. And we'll have to kind of see how it plays out on the ground. I mean, what John is saying is, you know, in part, public land management is about managing them for the entire population of the U.S. And the Trump administration has made it really clear that one of its responsibilities, as it sees it, is to be more responsive to the communities surrounding public lands, so more directly responsive to the needs and desires of those people who live closest. Mm. So, yeah, it'll be curious and interesting to see how it actually plays out on the ground.
You know, it's. I think it's fine listening to the quote about putting more range specialists out here, but the real way to deal with that, and of course it never happens, is appropriate more money for there's more staff generally to deal with these problems. We have seen a reduction in the number of personnel in all our land management agencies, which means they are stretched thin. So, bringing some range specialists out here might resonate, might not be a bad idea. But the bigger question is, do they have the staff to do what we ask them to do?
So, John, how will this change? Let me go back to this. Do either of you see practical benefits that the BLM is talking about? I mean, things like, could it be better for agency higher-ups to work out west? Or as you mentioned, John, they're not in that interior circle.
Well, 98% of the BLM's already in the West, 95%. And because I've worked with them, either as because I was chair of their science advisory board, their leadership travel all the time. You know, they don't stay in Washington. They get out a lot. And so I'm not quite sure how that's going to change things. The real question to me is if they also push decisions down to a local level and stop reversing or taking decision authority away from local people and going up high, then that could be a good thing.
When is this supposed to actually take place?
Yeah, so over the next 15 months. So it's actually a pretty aggressive timeline. And there's some question as to what congressional authority or approval has to happen from here. It's not the expensive move that some people thought it was going to be, but it still is going to require some dollars.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty clear that the House Interior Committee said we're looking at this seriously.
Oh, they don't like that.
We may not appropriate the money for this.
Well, what's interesting about this, though, if they're saying within the next 15 months, I mean, 15 months is when the next presidential election happens.
Oh, yeah.
So could this move happen? And then all of a sudden, if Trump is not reelected, the next president says, you know, never mind.
I think that's feasible. But the way that the BLM described it yesterday, they would be moving people over time. So working with each individual staffer to figure out a timeline that works for them, if they're actually willing to move. Some of these civil servants may say, like, no, I've got kids in school. I don't want to go. So, yeah, it's not like 15 months. They'll all be happening a year and a half from now. It could be next month.
And that's a key. If they decide to resign and not move, that's the institutional knowledge question that's important to think about.
I want to thank both of you for coming in and talking to us about this today. We've been talking with Boise State Public Policy Professor John Freemuth and Mountain West News Bureau reporter Amanda Peacher. You can read Amanda's reporting on the BLM move. Just go to BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Again, thank you both for coming in.
You're welcome.
Up next, a lunar conversation with our friends at Idaho Public Television who have a new short film on the horizon. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.